One of the most beautiful and inspiring ceremonies in the Catholic Church is the first Holy Communion of a group of children. Attired in their best garments, they come to the altar rail, their hands reverently folded to receive Jesus for the first time. It reminds us of our Lord's words, "Let the children, little children come to me and hinder them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." It's very important that parents teach their children from the earliest ages to know, love, and serve God, and then also to follow up in their religious training after they make the first Holy Communion. Last year, there was a very tragic situation. There were 14 children here who received Jesus for the first time. They spent months and months learning their catechism and the prayers, coming to Mass. And then 5 children never came to church again. It was just a social event. Okay, we made our first communion now. We don't have to do anything else. They never came to church again. Never came on Easter. Never came on Christmas. But we believe in God. And we want to be faithful to God and then be rewarded by God. So many of us remember the story of Jesus speaking with the children. Jesus had been spending much time preaching and healing the sick, helping everyone. And then there was a group of children that ran to him. And then the apostles said, "No, go away, go away." But then Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus loves children very much. One of the children sat on his lap, and then Jesus told them all about heaven and then how much he loved them and how much he cared about them. Then afterwards, Jesus had a lot of work to do, so he had to go away. And the little children didn't want Jesus to go away. So what happened? They said, "Don't go away. We love you. Please stay with us always." Jesus knew that these little boys and girls loved him and wanted him close to them always. So he had a wonderful plan. So that's where he devised the Holy Eucharist. So every time we come to church, Jesus is truly present in the tabernacle. And then after we've studied our faith, we've been baptized, then we can receive him. And it's the same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, the same Jesus who died upon the cross, the same Jesus who healed the sick and who loves us so much and came down to heaven to atone for our sins. So he made it possible that he would stay with us always. But Jesus is there, but we can't see him now because he hides himself in the little white host, the little bread. But Jesus prepared the people because beforehand, the people didn't have any food, and he fed over 5,000 people with the 5 loaves of bread and a few fishes. He multiplied the food. So if he can change 5 loaves of bread to feed thousands of people, then he can do something else to it. And then his very first miracle was to change water into wine. They ran out of wine at the marriage of Cana. And then Jesus' mother said, "They have no wine." And then Jesus changed water into wine. So later he would change bread and wine into his body and blood so that he could be with us. And yesterday at his sick call, somebody had been in the hospital several days, was very sick. And then the little white host came to church and then went to see this sick person. And Jesus could be right there with them. And Jesus loves us so much that he would stay with us until the end of the world. There was a little girl who used to visit Jesus in the church, and she hadn't made her first Holy Communion yet. But this is what the prayer she said: "Dear God, I know you are here." And that's why we kneel to receive Holy Communion, because that's why we genuflect when we come into church. And then we bless ourselves with holy water as we walk into the church, because we know God is here. And so many other churches throughout the world, Christ is not present, but we know Jesus is here. And here's what she said: "Dear God, I know you're here. I love you. I want every person in the whole world to love you. please help me to prepare my heart for your coming on my first communion day. So every time she went to church, she would say that, please prepare my heart for the day when I can make my first communion. Thank you, God, for giving me such a good father and mother. Thank you for my little friends. Thank you for all the good things you give me. Please bless us all and help us to be kind and good today. Goodbye, dear Jesus, until I can talk to you again. So, after you receive Jesus today, you can tell Jesus the same thing. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to me. Thank you for all the good things you've given me. And then please bless me. Please help me to go to heaven. In your own words, just talk to Jesus because he's truly present. Now, today's the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena. And when she was a little girl, she went to Mass and then she said her prayers and then afterwards went home. And then she was, she couldn't fall asleep. And you know why? She was just thinking about something. Do you know what she was thinking about? Do you know what she was thinking about? She was... No, that's right. She was thinking about Jesus in the tabernacle, that when people come to church, then there's a lot of people here and we're praying. We want to be with Jesus. But then at nighttime, then Jesus is all alone. So you know what she did? She was real quiet and then she left her, got out of her bed, and then went down the stairs and then outside and walked all the way to the church. And that time, things were a lot better. The churches were open, and it was really still and dark in the church. But she knew Jesus was there and then felt sorry for him because he must have been lonesome, being all by himself for all that time. So she came and then knelt at the communion rail, and then she said, Jesus, you know, I'm really tired, but I don't want you to leave you alone, so I want to visit with you and tell you how much I love you. And then do you know what happened? Then all of a sudden, it got real bright, and hundreds of angels appeared. Because Jesus is never alone in the Blessed Sacrament. That's what this church is called, Queen of Angels, because Mary is the Queen of Angels. But every place where Jesus is present, there's angels with him all the time, loving him and adoring him and keeping him company. So anyway, she went back home afterwards, and then her heart was happy. Jesus was not alone in the tabernacle. His shining angels were always there with him. So wherever God is, angels are close by. And she said, good night, Jesus. Good night, lovely angels. And then she went back home and back to sleep. So today you're going to receive Jesus for the first time. You've been studying a long time. You've been learning your prayers. But now you're not going to have to wait. You'll be able to receive Jesus. And he'll be with you all by yourself. So he'll be in your heart. You'll be able to speak to him with all your love and tell him that you're sorry for your sins. My patron saint, St. Dominic Savio, began to serve Mass when he was 5 years old. And when he went to church, sometimes the church was closed, but even as a five-year-old boy, so he'd kneel on the steps of the church and fold his hands, bow his head, and pray until the priest opened up the doors. And then he learned his catechism, and he really wanted to receive Jesus. At that time, it was a very sad time. People didn't receive Holy Communion until they were like 11 or 12 years old. Yeah, that's a long, too old. You miss all those years. He died when he was about 15. So you think about all the years he would have missed out on communion. But he was able to, St. Pius X changed the time. So once you understand your catechism, and then you can receive Holy Communion. So that's why you're going to receive Jesus today, because you love Jesus, you know what you're doing, and he's been waiting for you since you were born, just waiting for you to come to you. So he's going to come to you today. But I'd just like to share some things with the adults too, that I can't stress enough the importance of the example that you parents and you adults give to children, that if you say your prayers devoutly, then they'll learn to say their prayers devoutly. As a boy going to Mass, I couldn't understand what was going on for a while. You're older now, so you do understand. And then sometimes we were in the back, and then I couldn't really see what was going on, so I stood on the kneeler, and that's all I saw was the back of people's heads. There was just the church was too big, you know. So we finally moved up to the front, but I just knew something was important because my parents were so intense in what was going on. So, and then later I, you know, served Mass and made my first Holy Communion. So, but it's very important. It's not so important what you say to your children, but how you live. So please teach them how to follow the Mass. The prayer book is one of the best ways to do it. And then you can, during Mass, you can whisper to them, okay, this is what's going on, or this is what's happening next, or whatever. So then they understand. And when they're old enough, they can move up toward the front, see what's going on. But your example is very important. If you dress properly for Mass, if you come early so you can prepare for Mass, if you the Mass is important to you, then it's going to be very important to your children, because they see you, and your example. So, why do some children squirm or look around even after their first Holy Communion? I remember I was visiting a family, and you know, they were Catholics, but they probably never said family prayers. But then I was visiting from, I went to New Mexico. So and visited them, and then it was time for prayers, night prayers or something, and they were squirming the whole time. So they were faking it. They probably never said night prayers, but then, okay, the priest is coming, so okay, let's say some prayers. So if you pray regularly with your children, then they'll just understand. So the last thing I'd like to say is the importance, and I do this in marriage instructions. I found this in a book, and of all things, it was a book about exorcisms. The priest said, I'd like to give two simple recommendations to young married couples. But I give this to every parent. And here's what he said. It's really good advice. The first is to develop immediately the habit of praying together. So as husband and wife, that you pray together. And this will lead to greater harmony and keep away many evils. And that's true, because a family that prays together stays together. The second is to extend this good habit to your children and bring them to church, even when they're little and even when they cry and run around the church. Okay, I mean, we can keep them under certain control, you know, but they're full of energy, and it's very hard to contain that. But we're glad they're in church. They're full of energy, but they're here. One is educated in the church through osmosis. And when you're older, you'll understand what that means, okay? They will be grateful when they're grown, and so will you. And one must not... Okay, so they'll be grateful that you've taught them to pray, to be close to God, and so will you. And congratulations, you'll be receiving Jesus in just a few minutes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.